Welcome, everyone. The webcast is about to begin. Please note today's call is being recorded. At this time, I'll turn the conference over to Ms. Ashley Wilbon. Please go ahead.
Thank you, Felicia. Good afternoon, everyone. This is the conference call for the Resource Use Steering Committee, and we're happy to have everyone here this afternoon. We wanted to bring you guys back together one more time before the end of the year to, you know, kind of get you in the right mindset for a transition to the next phase of the project. I also have on the call with me Sally Turbeville and Sarah Fanta, who are listening in, and they'll be chiming in here and there, and Sally will be presenting part of the session today as well. So we'll go ahead and move into a roll call. Let's just see who's here so far. For those of you that are dialed into or on the webinar, can you see the slide that's up there? You should be on the steering committee slide with everyone's name there now.
Yes.
Okay, great. So I'll just do a quick roll call here, and I think Doris may be having some trouble getting into the conference call part.
No, I'm here.
Oh, you are there. Okay, good, Doris. Welcome. I was just getting ready to send you the ballot information, so thank you. Okay, Doris is here. Bruce, you're here. Paul Barnett. There. Jack Bowen, Jephthah Curtis, Curtis Elward, Bill Golden.
I'm here.
Bill, Lisa Graybert, since you're there.
Here.
Ethan Helm, Ann Hendrich, Thomas Lee, Renee Marcus Holden, Jack, I know you're there. Mary Kay, I know you're there. David Pinson. Steve Phillips?
Here.
Hi, Steve. David Redfern, I know you're there. There. Jeff Rich? Tom Rosenthal?
What was that?
Tom Rosenthal?
That's me.
Okay. Hi, Tom. Barbara Rudolph?
Here.
Barb. Joe Stefanski?
I'm here.
Hey, glad you can make it. Jim Weinstein? Okay. Looks like we've got about half of you guys here. So,
Bill Rich, I think you got to mention me.
Bill?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I think I just checked you in already because I knew you were there. So.
Okay, sorry.
No problem. So I'm going to go ahead and move on. So for our meeting agenda today, you'll notice it's a little bit different. Things may be in a little bit different order from the draft agenda that we sent out. But we wanted to give you a project update, go over a brief overview of the measurement evaluation process, and it kind of links to the evaluation criteria that was approved. And then Sally will be giving an overview of some of the current NQF and HHS activities and how we are trying to align things for the phase two of projects. So for today, we just want to make sure that you guys have an understanding of the expectations for this committee around harmonization and best in class, and then have an understanding of the concurrent activities and project challenges that we have identified so far. So we're basically winding down on phase one of the project so far. We have finalized, for the most part, the resource use measurement white paper. We sent that off to HHS for their final review last week, so we should be having that posted to the web as a final document by the end of this month. The evaluation criteria, we did some aligning with the NQF evaluation criteria that was also undergoing some changes for all four of the criteria. So where possible and where it made sense, we did try to align that, and that was approved by CSAC on November 4th, and I think everyone got an email about how that went. It went very well. The online measure submission form for the resource use measures, we're moving that along. We're working with the developers, and we should have a prototype to begin testing in the next week or so. So we're looking forward to that and hopefully getting that up and running before the call for measures in January. We've also been doing, amidst this whole phase, and we continue to do outreach to several measure developers. The ones that we we've told you guys about before, we also did get in touch with the ACG folks in Johns Hopkins, and we're trying to do some outreach with 3M as well. So we are, you know, continuing to do that to see who is interested and to, you know, drum up interest wherever we can to have a variety of submissions for the project. So an updated project timeline, so you can see what we have grayed out of what we've accomplished so far. We did submit the final white paper, as I mentioned, and CSAC has approved the criteria. We will begin doing some measure developer outreach via online webinars beginning in January prior to the call for measure so that they have an understanding of how the submission process is going to go, that they understand the items that are on the submission items list, and, you know, to make sure we have facilitated that process as much as possible up front so there's not a lot of confusion during the actual submission phase. We do also plan to have a webinar for the steering committee prior to you guys evaluating measures to orient you to our process. The consensus development process is a 9-step process that we have in place that allows for measures to go through, you know, the call for measures, the submission process, steering committee evaluation, feedback to the board, and all that. So we'll be doing some training around that as well as the evaluation forms and how you guys will actually be going through the evaluation of the measures and relating that to them meeting, demonstrating that they've met the criteria. So we expect that to happen sometime in January, early February, before the call for measures closes. And I think we had already sent out a survey to you guys last week to get your availability for that meeting. Again, we do anticipate the call for measures going out around January 24th, the last week of January. And pending the submission tool is done by that time, everything below that should happen as we planned it, but we did want to give you guys some approximate timelines, and we'll be finalizing these dates for the in-person meeting for the steering committee as well as the TAPS within the next few weeks. So right now we just kind of wanted to give you an idea when those will happen. And then with all the work for reviewing the measures and the rest of the CDP steps, we will look to have some endorsed measures by early 2012. So that's our plan right now. I did want to give a brief overview of the measure evaluation process. This will kind of lead us into the next phase of the presentation about harmonization and best in class. So when you guys are reviewing, when the measures actually get submitted, we will be starting with a staff review in-house to make sure that the measures have met the NQF conditions. And there are several conditions that they have to meet, including that the measure steward agreement is signed, that they have completed the submission form, and et cetera. After that, we are planning on sending the measure submission forms to a consultant that will do a statistical analysis of the risk adjustment and the measure testing information, and it kind of shifts some of the, expertise off of the steering committee and the TAPS, that they have that statistical analysis for them, for you, when you start evaluating the measures. So that will happen before the TAPS and the steering committees review the measures. We take that statistical analysis and distribute it to the TAPS as they are reviewing the measures. When the technical advisory panels are convened, we expect to do a call for TAP members that will be concurrent with the first call for measures, and that the TAPs will generally include 5 to 7 clinical experts per condition area, so there's smaller groups in the steering committee. They'll review the consultant's analysis, and they will evaluate the clinical underpinnings of the measure as well as each sub-criteria. So for each of the overall criteria for importance, scientific acceptability, usability, and feasibility, there are some sub-criteria within that the technical advisory panel will be focusing on. Their results or their ratings of each of the sub-criteria are then passed on to the steering committee, who will review the TAPS ratings, the consultant's analysis, and the steering committee will make their overall evaluation of the overall criteria. So you will ultimately determine whether or not the measure has met importance, scientific acceptability, usability, and feasibility, and then will ultimately also make recommendations for endorsement of each measure. Those measures that are submitted that aren't related to a particular condition, that are, you know, that cross, that may be non-condition specific measures, those will go straight to the steering committee. And there will be no TAP assigned. So besides the statistical consultant analysis, those will come directly to you. The steering committee will also be asked to address measure harmonization and best in class, which we're going to get into next. And I guess I just wanted to pause here real quickly to see if there's any questions before we jump into the measure harmonization and best in class.
Hi, this is Bruce. Make sure I understood. The non-condition specific measures will still be evaluated by the consultant.
Right, if there's any risk for risk adjustment and any testing information, right?
Okay, thanks.
Mm-hmm. Any other questions?
Yes, Ashley, this is Lisa. Does the steering committee play any role in the TAPS officially or no?
We have identified some steering committee members that will be TAP chairs. So you do have that crossover. So there will be each of the TAP chairs sit on the committee, if that makes sense. Is that?
Yes, thank you.
Okay.
This is Barb Rudolph. I'm just wondering, usually TAPs are not necessarily made up of, at least in the past, of just clinicians. Is there any intent to add other individuals who are either measurement experts or folks, measure developers or consumers at all on the TAPs?
Barb, this is Helen. I'm happy to respond to that one, Ashley. So in general, we will do an open call for the clinical areas, and there's no restriction that it would just be a clinician, of course. But we want to make sure that at least given the clinical nature of these episodes, you want to make sure there are clinicians at the table. But if there are, knowledgeable methodologists, et cetera, who want to play in that space, that would be very welcome.
Okay. Thank you.
Yep.
Yeah. This is Jack. On this point, as one of the non-clinicians on the committee, I think that one of the limitations of the resource measures inherent in the data sources for them right now is that they focus on basically what's billable. That's how we're getting our measures of resources. But for purposes of evaluating whether we're getting a full sense of the resources that are being used to produce services and potentially affect patient care, it will be good to think about clinicians other than physicians on the TAP, because they will have different kinds of clinical perspectives on what care is actually being delivered than just the physicians.
Thanks, Jack. That's a good point. Any other questions or comments about those? Okay. So for the next few slides, we really just wanted to get you guys thinking about these two particular things. As we aligned our criteria with the updates to the existing NQF criteria, there are some things that came out we wanted to make sure the committee was aware of to make sure you're kind of thinking about how these things apply to resource use measures and maybe talk some of those things through. So I did distribute to all of you guys in the email that I sent a couple weeks ago the most up-to-date measure harmonization report. So the next few slides about measure harmonization, we can reference to that report, and I can bring up the report if necessary if there are some questions that you guys had about that. So for measure harmonization, the purpose is really to eliminate unintended differences among related measures. And so as I mentioned, some of the conditions that will be required for NQF staff to review as measures come in is that as measures are submitted, the measure developers have to attest or, tell us in the submission whether or not they have made an effort to harmonize their measures with other measures out there that are similar to them. So that's the first kind of review that it will get, the measures will get about harmonization. And harmonization can occur, or we look to harmonize measures if measures address the same measure focus, which is the target process, condition, event, or outcome. So for resource use measures, this may be actually, maybe the resources that are being measured, pharmacy costs or, E&M costs or something like that. or if it's the same target population. So are they, you know, are these two measures, for instance, that may be similar, are they both measuring diabetes populations, and how are they measuring that? And so, and also, because we just wanted to point out that when you harmonize, it may mean, it may have several outcomes. So it may mean that we're taking two measures. They'll remain two distinct measures, but if they're both measuring diabetes populations, for instance, we have them harmonize how those measures are being, how those populations are being measured. So are using the same set of codes, for instance, which would be a technical harmonization, are using those same set of codes to define a diabetes population in both measures. Or harmonization might also result in two measures becoming one, where maybe they're using the same denominator, the same target population, but one is measuring pharmacy costs and, I don't know, E&M costs, and another is measuring ambulatory costs or something, and then you would want those to combine. So there's several outcomes that could come out of harmonizing depending on which parts to measure are similar and are able to be harmonized. And so this, for those of you that read the report, there were some mention there about conceptual versus technical harmonization. So if we think of conceptual harmonization as what is being measured and why, so this would be like the target population and time window, so like the length of the episode, for instance, the exclusions and the level of analysis, versus technical harmonization, we're really looking at codes, like how are they measuring their concepts with codes or algorithms and so forth. So just kind of keeping in mind, again, how these things may relate to resource use measures. So for resource use measures, because most of the measures that are going to be submitted to us for this project are already far along in development, have been in the market, for instance, for some time, there will be limited opportunity for a lot of these developers to harmonize, for instance, at the beginning of development because, like I said, they're already out there, they're already fully developed and tested. So as the report talks about, you know, there's several points in the evolution of a measure that there may be opportunities to harmonize with other measures that are out there. So for resource use measures, at the point that they are developed and tested, the measure developers will have to submit justification for lack of harmonization with other measures out there. And it will be up to the steering committee to determine whether or not the justification that they have, that the measure developers have submitted, is sufficient, and you know that the justification they provided is good enough to have you know the endorsement of two similar measures, for instance. And within that consideration, the steering committee has to think about is there added value to having two endorsed measures that are similar, and is it worth the burden of endorsing two similar measures? Some of the feedback that we get from the field is that NQF has so many measures, they're very similar, people don't know which one to choose, and so the justification is going to be very key for the committee to be thinking about, you know, having two similar measures that are endorsed. And for harmonization, you won't be required to ask them to harmonize statistical risk adjustment, risk stratification, and other statistical methods for estimating the measure results. So right now, those are off the table, and we're just looking at those like target population and the focus of the measure for this effort. So within at the end of your consideration of harmonization, the steering committee would be able to first either recommend the measure for endorsement only if it's harmonized based on how you think the measure should come together. You could recommend and accept the lack of harmonization with sufficient justification, or you could not recommend the measure for endorsement at all. So those are your options for the measure harmonization.
This is Barb Rudolph. I wonder if I could ask a question.
Sure.
We're requiring that all of these measures come in fully tested because of the complexity.
Right.
Changing specifications or changing the target population really changes potentially the results I would expect that you're likely to see. If we're requiring them to come in fully tested, I guess how can we expect them to then harmonize, and would they have to retest all the measures, or would they have to wait you know, I'm just thinking that it's really unlikely that the measures, if they've been in use and if they've been fully tested, that they would have been harmonized.
No, you're right, Barb. And I was trying to make that point earlier where there will be, because these measures will be fully developed and tested, that there's going to be very limited opportunities for the developers at the point of submission for them to really kind of have done any harmonization or change in their population and so forth. So really the onus will be on the developer during the process to justify why it's not harmonized and what added value or burden, you know, there is to have this, their measure in addition to another measure that may be similar.
This is Bruce. I have a question. Are the measures that are similar, are they likely to have been independently developed by different measure developers and tested so that once they are in the public domain, they really were independently developed by different organizations?
Very likely.
Very likely.
Yeah.
Because the harmonization implies that you would then be asking competitors to, I don't know, collude on you know, creating one measure, and then who does it belong to once that occurs?
Right, and the report speaks to some of this and how, you know, the goals of harmonization across measure developers should also not hinder innovation. So you're right, these are things to consider, and certainly as the measures come in and as we identify ones that are similar enough that harmonization would be desirable, it will still be given at the point at which these measures have already been tested, as Barbara pointed out, and developed. The steering committee and the measure developers may justify that at this time, you know, the two measures should be endorsed, but that future efforts should continue to seek to harmonize, or et cetera. I don't know. It's going to be difficult to know how often this is going to happen ahead of time, but I'm sure we'll come across measures where we're going to have to work through this, and what does it mean given the point at which these measures are submitted to us, which is fully tested, as you all noted.
Okay.
Any other questions? As Sally mentioned, it's really hard to tell up front like how much of an issue this is going to be, but we did want to kind of get you guys thinking about it. So it's very likely that we'll get some similar measures in. So just kind of have your thinking caps on about that. So I'm going to move on to best in class. And this is something that you guys had already discussed during the in-person meeting. But as we were finalizing the criteria, and we discussed this internally, we just wanted to kind of bring it back to you guys and have you guys thinking about how it will be addressed within this project. So in terms of harmonization, you have either the same target population or the same measure focus. And with competing measures, it could be two or more measures that have the same target population and the same measure focus. So it may be, you know, a very similar measure, but they're measuring it in slightly different ways. And so the committee will have to identify, A, that the measures are competing, and B, they'll have to justify, if you want both of them endorsed, justify why they should both be endorsed even though they're competing. So I know that the committee had previously expressed some during our in-person meeting, some concern about, you know, having to choose between two measures. And even though the committee won't be expected to choose, you'll still have to go through the exercise of reviewing the measures, identifying where they're similar, and, you know, justifying why you would want the two or more measures that are competing to be endorsed. So we did want to kind of bring that back to you for some discussion if there were any questions to make sure that was clear with you guys. Are there any questions? Sally, do you have anything to add?
Yeah, I think what we anticipate, and which is really not of any surprise, that we're going to learn a lot this first year. And as we set up future resource use measure evaluation processes, that we will definitely revisit this. But that in order to make sure that we're also learning about which measures really do compete and how we walk through it. We think it's, and also being very transparent to the public why two measures would be endorsed. We need to make sure we're doing due diligence to looking at the measures head-to-head and then coming up with a clear communication to why both would be endorsed or recommended for endorsement.
Hey guys, there's a question that came in on the text chat from Neil Brennan of CMS, who seems to be muted on the phone. Can you see that?
Yes, I do. Thanks for bringing my attention to that. The question is, will these harmonization criteria apply to next year's endorsement process or future ones? How are a set of independent measure developers supposed to know if their developers, if other developers are submitted, are submitting similar measures? Yes, I think.
Should I take this one?
Yeah, if you want to.
Hi, and operator, could you also unmute Niall, please? That would be helpful.
Yeah.
If he has any questions, but I think in general the harmonization criteria have just been approved, so we'll likely begin most likely with projects beginning in January. We would like to apply these as best as we can, but we understand it's probably too late for many of the measure developers to really get up ahead and upstream from the other development work of others. So we'll, you know, I don't think we can be quite as strict since others won't really know what's out there as much as we'd like for future projects.
Helen, this is Barb Rudolph again. I'm wondering where the sort of database is that NQF has been working on it, because it's still really difficult to find measures on the online search unless you know the exact name of it.
Right. So NQF is developing an online database of all of our measures, hopefully with the actual specifications. We're in a process right now of actually doing data checks of the actual measures with the developers as part of the 2011 updates. I think our expectation is that would likely be available by late spring, early summer. But, again, especially in this world where there aren't that many measure developers, I think, you know, in some ways the staff here at NQF could help facilitate a lot of that cross fertilization, in addition to the folks in CMS.
Are there any more questions about harmonization or best in class? Okay, I'm going to hand it over to Sally now to talk a little bit about some of the other efforts that are going on around resource use.
So we're on slide 15. And as we always do, we want to make sure we're being proactive about aligning our projects both with internal NQF projects, with the funders' needs, whether they have remained the same or have changed. And I think in today's environment, we see a lot of new projects coming about and changing in direction. So we have been very proactive in working with our funders as well as other stakeholders to make sure we're appropriately responding. I think it's of no surprise, and certainly we value our committee and our panel experts so much that we want to make sure that we are, in the end, producing, under your guidance, the most meaningful products. So, again, this means that we do want to make sure we take a step back and align our efforts. So moving on to slide 16, some of the things that we've been taking into account recently include the work that CMS and HHS are doing right now, where they've awarded four vendors contracts with the anticipation of landing on one final vendor end of next year with the announcement, I believe, in January 2012. And Niall, if you are unmuted, you're free to add to this if you like, the Medicare episode grouper. And so to the extent that this current project that you all are guiding us through relates to it, and where it doesn't, we want to make sure we're anticipating that. Also, in thinking about the outcomes of this particular project and a goal of NQF and others to come up with an approach that allows us to better think about value-based and efficiency measurement, we are making sure that we're keeping our tabs on a current effort that where we have recommended patient outcome measures for endorsement, and they include areas listed on this slide, and you can see that they cover a good
span of clinical areas from depression to chronic conditions like diabetes and COPD. We'll get into more details about how this looks as we continue to work with all of you to think about the final call for measures and as well as what kinds of tasks we might be able to align with this. But that's just an idea of some of the things that we're thinking about. Moving on to slide 17, as you all know, with this current project about to launch into its second phase, which is the consensus development process where we'll actually be receiving and evaluating measures, it has been extensively informed by the white paper that we all worked on and you guided us through. It's in its final phase. We do predict that it'll be posted in December. And as you know, the original scope of work of this project did span 18 conditions and included non-condition specific per capita measures for submission. The end goal of this project is to have NQF endorsed measures by early 2012. This slide 18 shows the type of conditions. Just as a reminder, I think we've put this in front of you quite a few times, and then the span of resource use measures should also be very familiar to all of you, where we are thinking about per capita through per procedure types of measurement areas. So the challenges that we face when we're trying to align efforts is certainly to make sure that we're meeting the needs of our funder as well as users of measures, making sure that we understand overlap of other funded projects, external occurrences, and also the limitations in our ability to align them. Sometimes it just might not be feasible, whether it be by timing or other considerations, but we want to make sure we have a grasp of that. Certainly very much on our mind is the Medicare episode grouper that's going to be selected next year by CMS. And then from what we understand today, that the measures that will accompany this final grouper will require endorsement in 2012 as well. So this project that we're undertaking right now with all of you precedes that. And as stated before, we certainly anticipate that we're going to learn a lot this year and expect and anticipate that in 2012 we'll be much more informed and hopefully able to endorse the measures in a more expedited manner as well.
This is Ethan. Just a question. What happens if the grouper that's selected by HMS ends up not getting approved through the NQF approval process?
That's a good question. So
I mean, if CMS is sort of focusing on this now, is there any way of them anticipating where we're going with this so that something embarrassing like that doesn't happen?
Sure. I mean, we will work with HHS and CMS, and they are on these calls, and we meet with them on a biweekly basis about this project. So any of the challenges that we learned through all of you that certain measures have in their ability to being endorsed will be directly communicated to them, both through meeting summaries and ongoing conversations and meetings that we have with them.
Yeah,
hopefully
there'll
be no surprises. The goal should be no surprises.
This is Paul Barnett. I'm a little bit confused by this separate process, and I understand it's not that wasn't your anticipation to have it go this way. But so they've already narrowed their process to two vendors, right?
Four.
I see. And then they're going to have a separate set of criteria and choose among the four? And then we're sort of independently doing the same thing, right?
Well, we're evaluating the measures themselves. And my understanding, their goal is to identify a grouper, which will have a set of accompanying measures that work with the grouper that I imagine are developed concurrently and are what are used to test and compare the different groupers. And I don't know, Niall, if you're unmuted now, but that's the extent of my knowledge. But we're working more on the development of how would we evaluate measures, regardless of which grouper they sit on, though the grouper certainly can have an influence on the reliability and validity of a measure for a given population.
Am I on mute still?
No, we can hear you.
We can hear you.
Yeah.
I just want to clarify just first a couple of things on the slide. I think it's probably not that accurate to say that there'll be a final Medicare episode grouper selected in late 2011, early 2012. The Affordable Care Act Calls for us to have a public domain grouper by 1/1/12. However, the practicalities involved in developing something of this magnitude and of such complexity means that these things will constantly iterate and develop over time. As folks who have seen the RFP for the grouper know, the initial deliverable will only be for a subset of high priority conditions, and we would envision follow-on work in 2012 and beyond beginning to round out that measure set for other conditions. So, I just want to caution people on how to interpret, the notion of a final Medicare episode grouper and its related time frame. Regarding the other issue, I don't think, anybody necessarily chose this particular set of circumstances. There was an existing contract mechanism with NQF to endorse cost of care measures, which is the process that you're a part of, and with the Affordable Care Act, we got this additional mandate from Congress to develop a public domain grouper. So I guess we're just going to have to sort of work through it and take things one day at a time, starting in whenever we see the fruits of the labor on this side of things.
This is Barbara Rudolph. I have a question. Is there going to be any attempt to create either measures or groupers that are not specific to Medicare data so that other payers might use it with other claims type of information?
Do you want me to answer that, Barbara?
Well, I don't know if you need to or if NQF, in the steering committee, in thinking about this, I think it's great that you all are doing this at CMS, but the rest of us are very limited in terms of, the types of data that we can get access to, so that we would not have access to Medicare claims data, and therefore the measures wouldn't necessarily work for us unless there's some attempt to make them more generic to claims information, to the kind of standard UB or standard transaction data. So just out of curiosity, I'm trying to find out if this is going to be helpful to the rest of the payers.
This is David. I would be really surprised if the measure developers don't propose measures based on commercial groupers like the ETGs or the MEGs. That would be very different from the Medicare grouper, but I'd be real surprised if we don't get measures based on those.
Great.
So will the steering committee then actually be endorsing the grouper or just the measure and grouper? Are we going to actually analyze the groupers?
No. So, we'll have to have – what we're thinking now is certainly we'll want the consultant, the TAPS, and the steering committee to have some understanding of how the groupers work to the extent that they affect the measures, but we don't want to see them in specification or source code format, programming language, for example. So we have been working with the measure developers on how they might be able to present to the steering committee at once or the TAPS at once a generic understanding of the grouper and how it might affect the measures. But in the end, it'll be the individual measures that are endorsed. Further, certainly NQF, Barbara, as you mentioned, we're very interested in all payer measures. We realize, however, exactly to what you said, a lot of the measures that we anticipate that we'll see this first out, unless some of CMS's vendors submit measures, will probably have been tested primarily in commercial data. And so in the end, where a measure is tested, for example, commercial, is the type of area that they're endorsed for implementation. So if it was strictly tested on commercial data, it gets endorsed as being reliable and valid for use in commercial populations.
Okay.
In the end, we're also, and we have been working with stakeholders, et cetera, and continue to think about this and are very open to input from our steering committees on how we can continue to push the quality and measurement enterprise towards all payer measures where they're appropriate. They may not always be appropriate, but...
So are you meaning all payer measures in terms of measures that apply to all different covered populations?
Exactly.
Okay.
Right.
Because there are going to be some practical issues, I believe, that will require us to have different measures for different populations. And
yeah,
so
I think
the commercial population, for example, even around musculoskeletal, have a different set of issues and imperatives than a retired population.
Agreed, and that makes it just that much more complicated, identifying where it's appropriate for them to span across populations and where it's really not relevant. So,
right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Also, we wanted to keep you updated on some of what we've learned from the developers that we've had the opportunity to speak with. Currently, it looks like approximately 500 measures potentially would be ready for submission to NQF for review. That doesn't mean all 500 will be submitted. We're working with the measure developers to better understand what this means. And also, this does not include all developers. We've had several outreach to more than four measure developers. These are the ones that actually felt comfortable that they knew how many measures they would like to submit. There's certainly potential for others out there, and we continue to encourage measure developers who are thinking about it to contact us and are working with our colleagues to make sure that the measure developer webinars, which will include education, introduce them to the new submission form, is going out to all potential developers. So, again, we continue to let us know if you think of any potential sources that may not be on our typical radar. Again, we do, regardless of whether, let's say, ETGs or MEG submits large amount of measures that are part of their grouper, each measure does need to be reviewed, get their expert input, evaluation, and then the public and member comment period must also be applicable to each measure. But we'll continue to think through how to manage that in the volume, whether it'll be phases of resource use, CDP projects, et cetera. So moving on to the next slide, we open it back up to committee discussion or questions about this.
This is Bruce. Before further discussion, Dolores, are you there? Funny.
Yes, I am.
Okay, so I wanted to thank you in front of the other steering committee members for representing us at the conference call with the CSAC. I don't know if the other members are aware that neither Doris nor I was available at the scheduled time, and that you volunteered to represent the steering committee and must have done a terrific job because our decisions were accepted, and I wanted the other subcommittee members to know that you had filled that role.
Well, thank you. I don't think I did too much, actually. Ashley and Sally and Helen did a great job, but it was my pleasure to do that. Thank you.
Okay. Any other questions, whether it's about aligning our current project with other activities or anything presented earlier on in the presentation? And so we'll dive right into upcoming project activities just to remind everybody and then open it up for public comment if there are any more steering committee questions. So, again, we are finalizing our Phase 2 project plan. Again, Phase 2 is when this particular steering committee enters into the formal measure evaluation and endorsement process, which we'll be launching in January. We'll keep you updated on any changes, if any, and any of the nuances of the project plan as we nail them down. We are completing the resource use measure submission form. Again, as a reminder, while the evaluation criteria changed very little, really we just focused on expanding the language to include resource use measures so that it wasn't just referencing quality measures and a few additional sub-criteria to make sure that we're adequately addressing some of the nuances of a resource use measure construction and how they might be tested, the majority of the changes have taken place in the submission form itself, where we're asking for the different components and modules of the measure from the measure developers and making sure that we're addressing how differently some of these resource use measures are constructed. So we are working with our web team and internal database management team to make sure that the items are submitted, can be submitted, and then can be fed back to our TAPS and our steering committee. We anticipate the call for measures opening at the end of January 2011. We will make sure that we have adequate phase two or CDP orientations with the committee members and TAPS and developers. There are a lot of steps in the process that must occur in order for it to be considered a true CDP process. We'll go through those with you. We'll talk a little bit more about expectations and make sure you have an opportunity to ask us questions. We don't want it to be you all going through the process in the dark. So we'll be scheduling those in the near future. And also concurrent with that, we'll be doing extensive outreach with the developers because the submission form has changed so much, making sure they understand what we're asking for, when we're asking for it, as well as give them an opportunity to ask us questions, which will inform a FAQ document that we'll keep posted alongside that submission form. And then as soon as we get the exact date of the call for measures nailed down, we take into account the need for the statistical review of the information coming in. We will nail down the in-person TAP meetings and steering committee members, which we anticipate will happen in the summer. So we'll do those as soon as possible. We realize how busy people are, and so we want to make sure we have time to look at different dates so we get all of you, hopefully, like we did last year here in D.C. So any questions about the next steps? And as a reminder, the timeline earlier on goes out through 2012. This is just the near future next steps. Okay, Ashley, I'll hand it back over to you to open for any public comment or questions for us or the steering committee.
Hi, Felicia, can you open or direct people what to do if they need to ask a question, if they'd like to ask a question?
If you would like to ask a question, please press the star key followed by the digit 1 on your touch tone telephone. Again, that's star 1 to ask a question. And no one has signaled.
Okay, thank you. Well, I think that's it. Sally or Helen, anything else to add? You guys are awful quiet today, steering committee. Trying to.
Actually, a question. This is Steve Phillips.
Hi.
It's about the, let's see here, the resource use measure submission form that was one of the attachments. And is this, I may have missed the last call. I wasn't sure where this is in the process as far as being finalized.
We are pretty, I believe the version that we sent out to you guys was pretty close to final. It's also what we have given the developers to work off of in order to develop the items that are, that would be on the online tool. So it's pretty close to finalization. There may be some minor wording changes or things, maybe the different order that the questions are asked in or something like that, but for the most part, in terms of the type of information that we're asking for, that is pretty well represented and finalized in the document that we sent you.
Okay.
Did you have a particular question?
Yeah, I mean, I guess just in looking through it, I was especially trying to see, you know, on these resource use measures where, you know, obviously if you're if the measure is built around charge data or just you know, there's a lot of detail that would need to be included as far as exactly, you know, what the how the resource use is measured, I guess. And so I to be honest, don't recall really focusing on this before. So I've just been looking at it, trying to see where that would fit in. I guess, yeah, since you do have it out field testing, that sounds like that would be very helpful for people who are actually developing these instruments to consider how they would would report that. But I guess so. If there is any additional comments from the steering committee, there might be one last chance to send those through.
Yeah, and Steve, you're right. We have actually, in all of our outreach with the measure developers, the calls we've been having, we do actually share that document and give them an opportunity to ask questions about it or maybe talk through how they might, you know, present the information that they have about their particular measure and fit it into the form and the way we're asking for it. So we're still having meetings, and actually during the testing phase, we're trying to get a couple of developers to maybe look at it and maybe start trying to put some of their information in. So we'll see about that part. But I think for the most part, the feedback that we've gotten is they're pretty comfortable with with what we're asking for. So.
Okay. That's it.
This is Paul Barnett. I had a question about how the technical advisory panels are going to be enter in this. I don't think I quite understand that yet. Since the seems like the nominations, the measures that are going to be nominated could deal with any of the areas that the technical advisory panels could cover, or even, you know, the measure could be across all of the conditions. And so how are they getting into the process is really the question. And
well, maybe partly answer your question. We actually do the TAPs, the call for the TAPs, at the same time as the call for measures, so that we have an idea of what kinds of measures are coming in, so that we can also determine at the same time what kind of technical experts we might need. So it's intentional that those two processes overlap. So it gives us a little bit of clue of like, okay, we've got, you know, 20 cardiovascular measures in, we need to make sure we have at least you know, a balance of representation or have enough people within the cardiovascular, you know, expert arena to evaluate those measures. So if we did get a measure in that covered multiple conditions or something that if it was more so non-condition specific, like we said, that would go straight to the committee. We just kind of have to figure that out once we get the measures in and to figure out which kind of expertise we actually have nominations for. So
you're anticipating something other than the episode groupers coming in, which they seem to cover all, you know, all conditions.
Right. I think Sally can jump in here, too, but I think most of the feedback we've gotten up to this point have been that the measure developers, most of their measures are condition-specific, but there may be some measures out there that we haven't, you know, heard of yet or gotten communicated to us yet that are more non-condition specific or cross multiple conditions. Sally, do you want to jump in there?
Yeah, even the measures that weren't episode-based, they were per patient, the ones that we've heard of were rooted in one condition or another. But you're absolutely right. If we get some measures that cut across all conditions, we'll examine how we would approach that given our TAPS and our steering committee expertise and make sure that we have the groups and experts in place to adequately evaluate it. So, again, kind of emphasizing what Ashley said, we overlap the nomination of the TAPs with the call for measures, and typically even the steering committee, but you guys have been in place to help us with the white paper and have, you know, we want the knowledge that has been gained to continue through the process. So if we need to, you know, think about other people that need to be added because of the type of measures that come in, we're absolutely open to that and in fact, we work with the public and members to make sure we're not missing certain areas given the measures that we've gotten in.
Sally, this is Doris. How will the call for TAP members, how will that be handled? I thought that there was at least a partial listing of TAP measures that was shared last June when we kicked off this process. Has that been, am I misremembering that, or are those folks assumed to be on the TAPs already?
Right, those are the TAP chairs that are also part of the steering committee. So TAP chairs, yes, I'm sorry, TAP chairs that are also part of the steering committee. We will need, so we have about 5 to 7 people per TAP, so we'd be looking for the additional members of each of those panels.
Mary Kay, and I guess there's two things. One is, I'm hoping that by having this TAP structure around diagnoses that we don't inadvertently communicate that we're not looking for other resource use type measures that would look more, for example, on I'm thinking now about like medical home, organizing a primary care practice to be more efficient or something like that that would not be diagnostic based.
That's right, and that's all part of the how important the crafting of the language for the call and measures will be.
Yes.
So we'll need to make sure that we're clear and communicate directly with the developers in the community which measures we would like to see come through the door.
Okay. And then the other thing is if there are those of us that are interested in participating in a diagnostic-related TAP but are not the chair, what is the process?
This is Helen. We'd be happy to take additional steering committee members, so just let us know if there are particular areas that you're interested in, and we'll see what we can do as we get the nominations in.
Okay, thanks.
I mean, anything that I think helps spread the wisdom that all of you have accumulated over this period of time to the TAPs, I think, would be very welcome.
Okay, thanks.
And the wasn't clear what the deadline was for the measures to be submitted from the timeline.
Right. So based on the having 18 conditions, we're thinking of dividing the submission period for those groups of measures over two 30-day periods. So the initial call for measures would begin at the end of January, but we'd have following that January 24th, we'd have a 30-day period where we'd call for a specific set of conditions. And at the end of that period, we call for another set of conditions just so we don't have everything coming in 30 days. And for those developers that do have measures across more than, you know, five or six conditions, expecting them to get all the information entered and uploaded and so forth within 30 days is a bit much. So we anticipate having at least a 30-day period with an additional 30 days on top of that for them to submit. So basically up to 60 days for them to enter information from January 24th. Does that make sense?
Yes. Well, it seems pretty accelerated, actually, that only 30 days. But it wasn't real clear to me just from looking at the timeline when that deadline was. And then we would have somewhere review them in the following 6 months, I guess, it looks like, from this timeline.
Right. So we'd start out with the statistician reviewing the risk adjustment and the testing information, and then it kind of flows through the process as we talked about with the statistician, the TAPs, and then the steering committee. So, yeah, that measure review process is actually quite extensive. And we'll have, once we get have the submission tool is closer to being completed and we know exactly when the call for measures will begin, we'll have a more specific timeline for you guys and give you guys exact dates for everything and making sure that, you know, the dates you've chosen for the in-person meetings and so forth are workable for everyone. So more information to come on those things. Any other questions? We'll let you guys go 15 minutes early.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, guys.
Thank
Happy
you.
Open it to the public.
I guess the only question, when we get together again?
We sent out the survey for you guys to fill out. It will be a training probably in preparation for phase two by end of January, early February. Okay.
Okay? Happy holidays, everyone.
Thank you. Enjoy.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.